Johnny, Are You Queer? But this one, a version done for the 2010 Pussycat Babylon album with the rap duo Elephant. From Josie Cotton on Revenge of the 80s Radio, Josie's new album, Everything Is Oh Yeah, is out, and she's with us to talk about it. Welcome again to Revenge of the 80s Radio, Josie.
Thank you, Chris. Great to be back.
Always good to have you. Before we get to the new album, what was fun about playing that version of Johnny was when you were on a talk about Pussycat Babylon before, there was a contest where musicians would create their own versions of the song.
Little videos of the song.
Yeah, little videos of the song. Sometimes their own versions. A lot of really interesting entries, I must say.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. It was a while back. I can't remember exactly what was on there, but it was pretty fun.
I got to see a lot of the videos myself, and it was really intriguing because a lot of people love this song. It's kind of an anthem.
Yeah, I would say for some people.
We had you on in the spring, Josie, where you teased the release of the long-awaited album, Everything Is Oh Yeah. And we're not necessarily talking about post-Pussycat Babylon. We're talking long-awaited since 1986.
Right. This was supposed to be my third album in a triage, as we say, and it never saw the light of day. We lost it and then found it and remixed it and tried to not touch the music at all of the time, and to not modernize it was our goal. And it was hard because that was the time of the Lynn drum machine. So it actually sounds pretty good, but we were dying to overdub drums, and we resisted the temptation to keep it in the true sense from the 80s.
You overcame and stayed true to the 80s values.
Yes.
But what happened in 1986? Why did it never get released? It was all ready to go.
It was ready to go. It was a situation where I had to make a decision if I wanted to go back into the music industry, music business, and it didn't seem like a real fun prospect for me, and my experience thus far had been like trying to struggle through a snowstorm, constantly fighting with the world. It felt like a fight to me anyway, and I just couldn't bring myself to put it out there and subject myself to the insanity that had come from Johnny Are You Queer. Basically, it all comes back to that, I think.
Oh, yeah, you had some, people loved the song on one side. On the other side, you had that Reverend Crouch, that lady who was railing against you all over the place.
Yes.
Who can forget that?
Well, I can't forget that, but it was funny to me also. I would say, for the most part, people really didn't know there was a controversy. For the big part of the world, they really had no idea what the political backlash was. In terms of that song and my career, and so that was something I decided to veer away from releasing this record and going through what I had gone through, and I went on to other projects and other kinds of music I wanted to do, and just experimenting and exploring without a record company breathing down my neck. That was a very wonderful feeling, to not have the corporation atmosphere around a creative process. You know what I mean?
Understandable. The industry suits were also looking in a different direction. A new wave was kind of being pulled off radio and mainstream for that time, and in favor of the hair bands, I suppose, if you will. But that's a different story,
too. In 1986?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, that's probably true. I really was not listening so much to current music. I was in another frame of reference at that point, I would say.
You did record the album. You did record the tracks at the time, though. And Brian Setzer did play guitar and do some backing vocals. We'll talk about that. You had some interesting career advice from both Brian Setzer and Malcolm McLaren.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was people from totally different perspectives who were there when we were recording the record, and they each had their own advice to give me, and it was polar opposite. one was to just throw it out the window, the whole record, and start doing dance records. That was from Malcolm. He really thought the future was all about hip hop and dance music, and that this wasn't, rock and roll wasn't relevant any longer. So Brian Setzer, of course, he's the embodiment of rock and roll and continues to be. He was of a different school, and there was some friction going on between them. It was a conversation I'll never forget, and I was torn because I knew Malcolm was right instinctively. He was so incredibly brilliant, and Brian was right too. They were both correct, but that coupled with my fear of record business, that just made me want to not do it even more, to not put it out.
It's almost like everybody piled things up on you.
It's kind of felt like it. I felt like a trapped rabbit.
It's like, let Josie do her thing. And she's been successful as she's been going so far. Let her take her musical direction, see what happens.
Yeah. That's not a record company is not a place for experimentation. It's formulaic, I would say, at its best. And there are exceptions. And, of course, that's the music we love. But Electra at that time, I was not the most creative, positive thing in my life, I'll say. I'm sure you hear that from most musicians. There's a moment when it does seem overwhelming to be dealing with a company overlooking everything you do.
I have heard things, and it also happens with us here at the radio industry.
Oh,
all of us with jobs and anything else. Somebody's always breathing down your neck, telling you to do something the same as everybody else. There we go. That's the thing.
Yeah, and then the politics. Just maddening, the political angle of it all. And I don't mean politics like we know it now, but within the businesses. Yeah.
What you're saying, Josie, and I think I agree with this, is that there are a lot of industry suits that scared people out of the business, or scared some good creative people out of doing what that might have actually brought some better music to the fray.
Yeah, there's that, them being scared off, and also them not even being given a chance to be scared off. They not releasing great music just because they didn't have the vision or didn't have the ears. And so there's that angle of the best music not even getting to the world. So there's that. That's the sad fairy tale of music business.
And Josie Cotton is with me on Revenge of the 80s Radio. One more note on that. Brian Setzer did say, do your own thing and keep doing what you're doing. Whereas Malcolm McLaren said, and this is interesting, because apparently he was telling you that you had to become more hip-hop because music was getting into beats and more production than anything else, which actually came true after the turn of the century. You hear now, it's basically puke packaging and beats and auto-tune.
Yeah, he was right, and I could kind of feel that he was right, but Brian was right too, so...
Exactly.
So that that froze me in my tracks. I couldn't figure it out.
Well, the Stray Cats just put out a 40th anniversary album, so I believe he was doing something right as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not sure how a hip-hop Josie Cotton would sound anyway. And I don't think you'd ever need auto-tune. He just wouldn't need auto-tune either.
Yeah, I can't see myself in that world. I don't know what he was thinking. And he's not around to ask him, so...
Back to the album, though. I just want to get into this because when we talked earlier this year, you found the music for the album when Stranger Things, the producers of Stranger Things, called you up and asked for some tracks that you didn't release before.
They asked my publishing company for songs from the 80s, records from the 80s that were never released, which was an odd request. It wasn't just songs. They actually wanted recordings from the 80s that were frozen in time, and that was kind of what I had. I didn't know if they were still in existence because they had been moved so many times and lost, and there were fires that they had to be rescued from, and all kinds of crazy things that had gone on. So I didn't know if they were around, but I knew that there was some remnant of that record somewhere, and we just had to go on a hunt.
Josie Cotton is with me on Revenge of the 80s Radio. The new album, Everything Is Oh Yeah. We'll talk more about that straight ahead.